Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. We were talking in the last Perek about the Bet Din and the judgment they would give to somebody who was on trial for the death penalty. Now we'll talk about what happens if he was found guilty. What was the next step? Obviously, the Bet Din is only putting them to death if they did something so bad that they deserved it. The four types of executions of killing were stoning, burning, beheading, and strangulation. Sekila, serefa, herig, vahenik, the four types of executions the Torah talks about. Here we'll talk about the description of what would happen before they stoned a person. Nigmar hadin, once the trial ended, and they said that the man is supposed to be killed through sekila, through stoning, motzi'in oto lisakelo, they would take him out, and then they would go stone him. Bet ha-sekila ha-yachutz le-bet din. The place where they would stone him was a little bit of a distance away from the bet din. It wasn't right outside the bet din. Shene emar hotzetam kalel. Like the pasuk tells us, take out the man who cursed God, talking about a story that happened in Sefer Vayikra where somebody spoke evil about Hashem. They took him out and they stoned him. But they took him out to a place. We say from here, we imply that they took him out to a place that was not close to the courthouse, to the Bet Din, and they did this in order to stall a little bit for time. Maybe there's going to come up a last-ditch effort to find a reason to say that this person was not guilty, and therefore they sort of delayed it by having to take him to a spot to be executed. And even during this time, they're hoping and praying that something happens, that they don't have to kill this man, that they find a reason to say that he was not guilty. So therefore, Ehad omer al petach bet din, ve'asudarin beyado. As they were taking the man to the spot to be executed, there would be a man standing by the door of the bet din, of the courthouse, and he would have a flag in his hand. Ve'adam ehad rochev hasus, rahok mimenu kedesh yehe ro'ehu. And then at a little bit of a distance from him, but still within the ability to see him, there would be a man on a horse. As we're going to explain, that the man on the horse was in between the spot where the execution was going to happen and in between the Bet Din. So he would be able to see if the man from the Bet Din was waving the white flag that he had, it means that something came up and they have to delay the execution, and the man on the horse would ride quickly all the way to the spot of the execution and put it on pause. Omer ehad yeshli lelamed alav zechut. If one of the judges came and he said, I thought of a new reason why we could say that the man is innocent and he's being already escorted to the spot of the execution. Hala minif basudarin v'hasus ras u'ma'amido. The man who with the flag would wave the flag as a signal, and then the rider on the horse who was already halfway there would race with the horse all the way to the spot of the execution, and he would stop it until the court had time to discuss and possibly reverse the decision. Even if the person who was about to be put to death, he told them, you know what, I have a new reason, I have a new argument why I should be acquitted, why I'm innocent. They pause everything, they bring him back to the courthouse, and they hear what he has to say. Even if this happens over and over again, four or five times, we bring him back to the courthouse every single time. We don't want to put an innocent man to death. But as long as the man is saying something of substance, he's making sense, he's saying something real, and that he has a valid reason behind it, he can't just be faking out the Bet Din. He has to actually have something that he wants to talk about. Matzulo zechut petaruhu. If they find a reason to say that he's innocent, then they acquit him. They say that he doesn't. He's innocent. They acquit him. Ve'im lav yotze lisakel. But if not, then he goes out to be stoned. Something else that they would do to give him a last chance to not get killed and to be acquitted. Vekaroz yotze lefanav. Before they were taking him out to be executed, or while they were taking him out, there was a big announcement made where somebody would walk in front of him and they would say, Ish peloni ben peloni yotze lisakel. They would say, this man, who was the son of this man, is being taken out to be stoned. Al sha'avar avera pelonit, because he violated a certain type of sin. Upeloni uploni edav, and the following two people, they named the names of the people. They were the witnesses who gave testimony against him. Kol mi shoyodeya lo zechut yavo vilamed alav. Anybody who has a reason that this man should be acquitted to prove his innocence should come forward now and tell us. They would, the execution and every detail was included over here to the public, so that if anybody thought of a reason to say that the man didn't do the sin, he would come and tell the Bet Din, and they would say that the man is not executed. We also say the witnesses' names to publicize it, so that, if other people said, no, the witnesses, they were in a different place at the time of the crime, then those people would come forward and tell the Bet Din, and they would disqualify those witnesses and then not kill the man. Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Bet, will continue talking about what happens when the person is escorted out to be put to death. Hayar rachok min bet ha-sekila ke'eser amot, when the person is about 10 amot away from the place that he's going to be stoned, omrim lo hitvadeh, they would tell him, it's time to admit your sins, it's time to confess the sins that you're being executed for right now, and also admit and confess any sins that you may have done in your lifetime. Sheken derech hamumatin mitvadin, because it's the way of people who are going to be executed to confess and to admit what they've done. Shekol mitvadeh yesh lo chelek la'olam haba, because anybody who admits his sins and confesses before Hashem eventually has a share in olam haba, in the world to come. Confession has three components, three different parts to it. Number one, the person has to admit what he's done. Number two, he has to regret what he's done. And then thirdly, he has to make a decision that he would never do it again. In this case, the person will never do it again because they're going to be executed. A person normally would be embarrassed to admit what he's done, because then he has to face people, he has to see people after admitting it, and they're going to know what he's done. But this person who's about to die, he's not going to see anybody anymore, so admitting what he's done would be a little bit easier for him, and they also try and motivate him by telling him that he's going to go to Olam Haba if he does admit his sin. That's part of the Teshuvah process. If he's put to death and he admits what he's done and he receives Teshuvah, the person would go to Olam Haba. We encourage him to do this confession, not when he's already at the place of stoning, but 10 amot away, because we're nervous that once he gets to that spot, his mind is going to be too all over the place and he's going to be too anxious and he won't be able to confess properly. Sheken matzinu be'achan, we see the source for this idea of a confession with Achan. Achan was the man that stole from the spoils of war during the times of Yehoshua when they captured the city of Yericho. Hashem told them no one is allowed to take from all of the possessions of the people who lived in Yericho. They have to leave them there. They have to be there for Hashem. But this man Achan took from the spoils of war. And what do we see happening over there? Sha'amad lo Yehoshua, that Yehoshua told him, Beni, simna kavod ladunai Elohei Israel veten lo todah. Yehoshua told him, this man Achan, before he was about to be put to death, he told him, honor Hashem, the God of Israel, and confess, admit what you've done before him. And then the next pasuk says that Achan actually admitted it. Vayan Achan et Yehoshua vayomar. He answered Yehoshua and he said, Omna anochi hatata. He said, yes, in truth, I have sinned before Hashem. And then the pasuk continues, where he says, V'chazot, v'chazot asiti, and I've done the following. We see two different parts. He says, I've sinned before Hashem, and then he specifies what he did. The Gemara explains over here that we have two parts over here. Number one, he's admitting what he did right there, that sin of stealing from the spoils of war of Yericho. And then when he says, V'chazot, v'chazot, and this and that I've done, is him admitting the rest of the sins that he also committed during the times of Moshe. He also stole spoils of war, so he's admitting everything. Not only what he did that he gave him the death penalty, but everything else as well. Uminayin shekipedlo viduyo. Where do we know that his admitting the sin brought him teshuvah, and therefore he earned a share in Olam Haba, in the world to come? Shine'emar vayomer Yehoshua me'achartanu yachorcha Adonai bayom hazeh. Yehoshua said to Achan, why did you ruin us? Hashem should ruin you as well. But then he says, Bayom Hazeh, on this day. So we could focus on that word, Bayom Hazeh. Hayom Hazeh ata achur, When Yehoshua told him on this day, what he was really telling him is, on this day you are ruined, but in the world to come, once you pass away, you're not going to be ruined, you're going to be forgiven, and you're going to enter Olam Haba. So we learn from here that once a person confesses, admits what he did before he's executed, he's going to receive a share in the world to come. But if a person doesn't have the ability to make a full admission of what he did, because he doesn't remember, if he doesn't know how to confess, if he doesn't remember all of his earlier sins, Omrim lo, they tell him, the people over there, Emor tehem itati kapara al kol avonotai. They tell him to say the following. That person who's about to be killed says, let my death be a kapara, let it be an atonement, let me receive full teshuvah for all of my sins. It's a general way of admitting all of his sins. And he prays to Hashem that him being put to death could serve as that atonement for everything. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im haya yodea shehu mezumam, Rabbi Yehuda says that what if a person really inside knows that he's innocent, that he knows that he didn't do anything wrong and he's being put to death for no reason, like we're going to say, because he was mezumam, because he was had a plot against him, that people plotted, they hired false witnesses, and they plotted to testify against him that he really did something, but in truth, the person who was being put to death, he really didn't do anything. So what should he do? In that case, Omer, dehemitati kapara akol avonotai, chutz me'avon zeh. The person should say, let my death be an atonement, let it be a kapara for all of my sins, except for this sin which I'm being put to death for. He knows that he didn't do it. So he wants to make it clear that he didn't do it. He wants to, even though that's not going to help him escape the execution, he wants it known that it'll clear his name everywhere else, that he did not do anything. So he wants to say that I am not being put to death for this sin, and therefore it won't serve as a kapara for me because I didn't do it. But the rabbis disagree. Amru lo, the rabbi said to the Yehuda, im ken, yehu kol adam omrim kach, kedei lerakot et atzman, says the hachamim to the Yehuda, you're setting us up for a problem. If what you say is true, that everyone who is innocent should say that, then even people who are guilty are going to say it, because they want people to talk nicely about them. They don't want to be remembered for being put to death for something that deserves the death penalty. They want people to think that they're innocent. So if that happens, everyone's going to say this in order to clear their name. And you're going to end up having the judges and the witnesses, people are going to say that they're responsible for putting an innocent man to death. So therefore, even if somebody's condemned to death and they think they're innocent, and they start to say that except for this sin, I don't want to be a kapara on this sin, we quiet them down, we do not allow them to say it in order to ensure that the integrity of the court stays intact, in order to make sure that people don't start to doubt the process, we do not allow them to throw in that extra clause where they'll say that this death should atone for all of my sins except for this. We do not allow that to be said.